I was I had an opportunity to preach in Baltimore, and I'm gonna go into this. And like Steve said, the theme was from Philippians 4:4, rejoice in the Lord, and again I say rejoice. To be able to say that outside of your circumstances. A lot of times our circumstances dictate what we say. You can listen to a person, and if they're going through great struggle, it will come out in their communication. Paul was chained to a wall, to a Roman guard, and on his way to death. And he communicates, rejoice in the Lord, and he repeats it. He repeats it. To have joy in an area, in a circumstance, when you know what is going to be your outcome, it's pretty amazing. So Psalm 30, verse 5, it says, his anger endureth for a moment, in his favor is life. In God's favor, there is life. In God's grace, that's what the word favor is. In God's grace, there is this amazing life. Doesn't care what the circumstance is. Doesn't care what you're going through. Doesn't care what your problem is. Because we have this life in the favor of God. We are favored. Whatever situation you are going through this morning, you are favored by God. And then it says, weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. Weeping may endure for a night, and joy cometh in the morning. In Psalm 30, how this starts out with David, David is in serious trouble in his life. Many situations, many things that are coming against him, many enemies, many, many problems. And he says this in verse 1. He says, I extol thee, O God. Now, what is that? That word extol, it's not the word exalt. But the word extol is to praise God enthusiastically. In really, it's a praising out of our emotions. We get to praise God from what's inside of us. We don't live in our emotions. We don't walk in our emotions. But our emotions are given to us that we can praise and worship God. We walk by, not by sight, we walk by faith. We don't walk by what we see. We don't walk by how we feel. We walk through the Word of God. So David's saying, I extol you, and he does it for two reasons. He says, number one, thou hast lifted me up. That's amazing. Because David is saying, God is doing something for me that I cannot do for myself. I cannot deliver myself. I cannot lift myself up out of problems. God does that. But we try, because when a problem comes into our lives, our first thing is to do is, how am I going to get out of this? How am I going to deliver myself? How is this affecting my life? Why is it affecting it? Why has it happened to me? And all these questions come into my mind. But God delivers me. And the word deliver there in the Hebrew is amazing. It's like God takes a ladle. And it's like lifting up water. It's delivering us like water. This is how easy it is for God to do. To deliver me. Whatever you're going through, God can deliver you. God can lift you up out of that mess. And then the second thing he says, why he extols God, he says that my foe or my enemy will not rejoice over me. That's amazing. that my enemy, I just want to thank you, God, that my enemy is not going to rejoice over me. And the enemy is not the problem here. We want to make people our problem. But the enemy is not the cause of the problem. But they're adding to it.
Yes.
They're adding to that, and they're rejoicing in your failure. They're rejoicing as you stumble and fail in life. They get great joy over this. And David's saying, thank God, Lord, that you prevent my enemy from rejoicing over my failures. Because it's bad enough without having other people saying, you know, really get on you for what you've done. You already know that you failed. You already know that you have a problem. And people are rejoicing over that. Don't rejoice over others' shortcomings and failures. Pray for them. Learn to pray for people. So, weeping may endure for a season, and joy cometh in the morning. What is the situation in David's life that is causing him to weep all night long? And many things bring tears to our eyes. Many problems in our lives we weep over. Even unsaved loved ones, family members, children. Those that are going in having medical problems and medical situations, we weep. We weep for them. And our problems become a burden in our life. And our troubles, and we start to carry those troubles. We're carrying them. We're holding the weight. Instead of casting them upon Christ, we're taking them on. Every situation that happens to somebody is my problem. I'm involved with everything. And these problems weigh on us. And they even come into my thinking. Fear and doubt and insecurities, troubles, stress. Things that I think about that are troubles. Oh, I've got to do this tomorrow. Oh, I've got to worry about that. This is in my life. I need to deal with this. And I need to, and all these, and they're mounting. And they bring tears. They bring tears in our lives. It says, but joy comes in the morning. And that's so beautiful. Because this season of tears and this trouble in the night will soon leave. And morning will come. And a new day will be ushered into you. And I can have joy. Even though just recently I was struggling. And my tears were always before me. And God captures those tears. He captures your tears. But morning is coming, and God is coming. Christ is coming. God is close. God is so real. The morning, the light comes. Daylight comes. And God now becomes so more real. So closer than he was last night. It's not that he is. It's just we believe that. Psalm 145 verse 8 talks about the closeness of God in the midst of trouble. In the midst of these troubles that we have, great troubles, great concern, great difficulties. And I'm thinking about this joy and this trouble, joy and trouble. Because a lot of times in the Bible, they're right next to each other. They're like linked. And joy can, you know, trouble is like a part of joy within our life. There's a connection with it. They join each other. And it seems like they should be the opposite. Well, either I'm having this major trouble and it's controlling my life, or I've got great joy. But the Bible talks about them that they're one. They go hand in hand with each other. See, but we look at it and say, wow, I was walking, I was having great joy, and all of a sudden I got news or something came into my life, and now I've got this trouble. And we always make trouble after joy. But instead, it should be Wow, I've got this great trouble in my life. I can't wait for the joy. But we don't look at it that way. We look at the trouble as being the control instead of the joy being the control. Trouble is the unknown. You might know its origin. You might know where it came from. You might know what's causing it. You might know why it's troubling you and why it's difficult. You might have all that figured out. You might have all the facts on that. But facts are not truth. Because facts need to be replaced with more facts to support your evidence. But truth is constant, and truth is from the Word of God. And truth we can rest upon and live in. And it's unknown because we don't know the outcome. We think what could be the outcome, and we always think the worst. You know, we always think the worst. Oh, I heard my brother Keith has a cold. Oh, is he dying? Is he in the hospital? No, he's got a cold. You know, but our mind goes there. Our mind creates trouble over nothing. Over nothing. And joy is a fruit. Joy is from God. Joy is from His character and His nature. It is a fruit of the Holy Spirit. Joy will triumph over this trouble. If you learn to have joy in it. In the trouble is where we get the most joy. Pastor, you're out of your mind. Yeah, I know. But it's still the Word of God. It's still real. It's still right here. Joy allows me. It allows my heart to be settled in the trouble. Only joy can do that. If it wasn't for the joy of God, you would be a full-time basket case. Worse than you are now, guys, by the way. Yeah. But joy settles your heart. It settles your thinking. It settles your mind. I don't need to be preoccupied with insecurity and jealousies and stress and negativity. How's that one? Negativity is just a revealing of trouble. You're just confessing what you're in. And it's just a negative platform. It's just a negative platform to Satan to have his way in your life. It's not joy. There's a settling with joy. Joy expands my capacity. Now, what is that? Because there's many, many pastors that give this definition of capacity, and it's so shallow. It's oh, your boundary's getting bigger. Your capacity is growing. You're comprehending more. And really, it's that could be to an extent, but it's very weak. Because our capacity grows when we are stretched by the Word of God. When the Word of God stretches me, my capacity responds by faith to God. Amen. And I don't live in the trouble. The trouble's there. And how do we count it all joy when we fall into trouble? By allowing the Word of God in my life to have its way in its course in my life. As the Word of God stretches me and starts to teach me things about the Word, teaches me things about myself. We think we know ourselves. We don't know who we are outside of what God says we are. And you're going to listen to what God says you are, righteous, holy, blameless. Or you're going to listen to what the world and what they say about you. And boy, that's not good. Because that gets all over the place. And this is where people don't know their identity. They don't know who they even are in Christ. So my capacity gets stretched, and as my capacity gets stretched, I start to retain what I hear. If I'm not retaining what God is speaking to my heart, how can I apply it? How can I overcome trouble in my life? How can I have this joy? How can I have these, what God says about me in my life? How can I have these things that are real in the book without my capacity being stretched? How do I know love? How do I know anything about love if I'm not retaining what I'm hearing about love? And then how do I know about love if I don't apply what is being retained? You can retain a whole lot of things, but it's not applicable. You could be the greatest theologian around, but it's not applicable. What are you imparting to others? What are you imparting to others that are going through trouble? We have words of life. The Holy Spirit imparts words of life that we get to share with others. Instead, I'm fellowshipping with my trouble. My trouble's overwhelming me. Morning, noon, and night, my communication is trouble. I'm going through this, I'm having this, and as soon as that leaves, another one comes right back in. Because my heart is troubled. I've got a troubled heart. And a troubled heart deprives me from rejoicing. I don't know how to rejoice. Well, Pastor, you don't know what I'm going through. This is just a hard time. It's a hard time in my life. I've known you for 5 years. You're in the same thing. Let's start rejoicing. Start confessing the word instead of confessing the trouble. The trouble's always going to be there. Our life, it's going to follow us. But we don't need to fellowship with it. We don't need to confess it. We don't need it to be the majority part of our life. This is why Christ said, think on things above. We are going to plant our thinking in a different area. We're gonna receive different thoughts and different communication. We're gonna listen to the Spirit of God for a change. This is Spirit-filled people. We're Spirit-filled Christians. And Steve said that. We don't need to keep walking all the time in our misery and our failures. We are Christians. We are heads. We're not the tail. You are victorious because of what Christ has done. Sometimes the most troublesome people I see that are so down and in misery and everything are believers. Where did that switch turn? Do we read the book? Are we in the book? Is the word affecting me through the capacity of being stretched? Are we allowing God's word to speak to our hearts? Hey, he was so on fire 3 years ago. Now he's, you know, what happened? What happened? I get many calls in the week from different people that have been in the church before and have left. Others that say, oh, I got to keep getting back. And the problems that arise in your life is two big things. Number one, you're not in the body of Christ. It's a covering for you. Yes. Why do you want to leave that? Yes. And number two, you're not in the book. Yes. It's just what it is. Yes. Well, I don't have time. You have nothing but time when it comes to your trouble. These troubles await us if we're not equipped with the full armor of God every moment and every day. We are in battle. We are in warfare. We need to be prepared. We need to hear God's word. This is why we have Wednesday services. You need that shot in the arm in the midweek. Because your whole day, your whole week is going to be overwhelming. And trouble after trouble and trouble is going to be upon you. And if it's not upon you, it's going to be upon your family. And if it's not upon your family, it's going to be upon your finance. If it's not upon your finance, it's going to be upon your health. Do I got to keep going? We are people that look for trouble. Paul again, rejoice in the Lord. And again, I say rejoice. Rejoicing hinders me. Like I said, it hinders me from troubled heart, hinders me from rejoicing. It hinders me. It's hard to have joy when you have all these things in your mind. When all these things are going through you, you know, in life, which are normal things. As I learn to rejoice in God, God starts to share more of his life with me. Life only comes through the Spirit. John 6:63. Life comes through the Spirit of God. We need to walk in the Spirit of God. Instead of counting my problems, I'm going to count it all joy. I'm grateful and I've got great joy because God has forgiven me. Can you say that God has forgiven you? Can you receive the joy from that forgiveness? It doesn't matter what anything else is going on. God has forgiven you. And in that moment, instead of thinking about my trouble, because the trouble's going to be there, the tears are going to be there, the nights are still going to be there, but morning is coming. Morning is coming. It still is going to come. So I'm going to rejoice in forgiveness. I'm going to rejoice in mercy today. And those mercies are brand new every morning. Every morning they're available for me to rejoice in. I'm going to rejoice in the finished work. I'm going to rejoice in my new identity. Christ says that I'm in him. I am sealed with the Holy Spirit. It's a promise. The Holy Spirit abides within you. He's right with you. You're in a hurricane of a storm of trouble, but the Holy Spirit is right with you. He's right there with you. And in that storm, you can still fellowship with the living God. It doesn't get better than that. So these are the things I want to fellowship with. My new identity. I want to fellowship with the promises of God. This is joy that brings joy to my heart. Troubles do not need to overwhelm us. Think of your confession. What are you confessing to the atmosphere? Your trouble? Hey, and there's a time that you need to. We're not saying you hide it. Because you can go to somebody who's going to identify with what you're going through. And there's people in this church that want to pray for you in that situation. I'm saying we don't need to live a constant lifestyle in our troubles. Because it's robbing you. Not robbing you just from peace, but it's robbing you from the joy of the Lord. And that becomes my new strength. I crawl out of the room that I'm in where tears are lasting for a night. I crawl out of that room and immediately I'm in the presence of the feast. I'm at the table of God immediately. There's nothing that we have to do. And if you don't believe that God can forgive you or heal you or bless you or touch you, we need to be in that presence of God. We need to allow the joy of the Lord to just to fill me, because it's part of the Holy Spirit. Don't give in to your troubles on a daily basis. The world has many troubles that it wants to impart to your life. And God is saying, listen, reflect those. Cast those upon me because I care for you. Reflect them. Don't entertain it for a while. Don't allow it to make you, feel miserable for periods of time. Don't fellowship with it. Cast it. Reflect it. Throw it far away from you is what the Greek says. Get rid of that, because we are not made to live with them. And you know what? Instead of filling your mind with troubles, because it's easy to do, we can all do it. Start filling your mind with the Word of God. Get that garbage out and get the new in. That's the first step in computers, right? You always hear garbage in is garbage out. So if we've got garbage coming into our mind, garbage is going to come out. And now you're infecting others. God wants us to be strong believers, a strong mind, walking as soldiers doing battle. We are in spiritual warfare. Do not let the enemy dictate you your troubles. Understand your trouble and then say, where's my joy? Look at every verse with joy in it. Trouble is right there with it almost. This connecting factor. But what are we going to confess? And what are we going to live in? That's a choice. We have a choice to live with God's joy. Amen. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for the Word of God today. You know, another verse in that Philippians 4:4, count it all joy. In that same chapter, where it says, let your requests be made known unto God. Let me just read this. I think it's in verse 4, right? Pastor Keith? What do you got? Yeah. Yeah, be anxious for nothing. Or be in verse 6, be careful for nothing. Be anxious for nothing. But in everything, by prayer, supplication, make your requests be made known to God. That anxious for nothing is really interesting. Be anxious for not one thing. Do not allow one thing to allow you to dwell upon that trouble or that anxiety. Do not let one thing to come between you that's going to cause anxiety or stress. Not one thing. Don't allow it in. And I love that breakdown, because a lot of times we're careful or we're anxious for everything. We allow everything to upset our thinking. This is saying, don't let one thing come into your mind that's going to make you anxious, worry, or stressful. These are killers. These are killers in your thinking pattern. Instead, we go to prayer with supplications. We start to pray for others. We start to pray even for ourselves. We let our requests be made known unto God. Hey, I've got this thing. It's troubling me. I'm feeling anxious about it. It's a bill. It's past due by 2 weeks, 2 months, 1 year, and they're hounding me on it. I'm going to give it to God. I'm going to leave it there. I've got these health problems are all over me. I can sit and dwell upon those health problems, or I can give it to God. He made us. He created me. He might remove it. You might be left with it. But even if you're left with it, count it all joy. We can learn to have joy in every situation that we're living in. So Heavenly Father, again, we just thank you for this time. Lord, we thank you for the body of Christ, the Word of God. The Word of God lifts me up, draws me up out of my waters of trouble. I am swimming in this trouble, and God lifts me up, this spatula that he dips deep into the water and just lifts me out of it. God delivers us. He is our deliverer. He is our Savior. He is our fortress. He is our refuge. We need to go to God. Live in the joy of the Lord. That becomes our strength. Heavenly Father, we just thank you. Thank you for your amazing love. Exchange your trouble for joy today. Just give it to God. See? Siri gets it. She just said, reveal it. Did you hear that word? She goes, just reveal it to God. Give it over to God. Siri's all over that word. Thank you, Father. Lord, we sometimes as the body of Christ, we are overwhelmed with troubles in our lives. Sometimes they even swallow us up. But you are there, Lord. You are for us. You are not against us. Our mind is renewed on things above. We're not going to let any one thing control our thinking because we are a child of God. And we have the third person of the Trinity, the Holy Spirit that dwells within us. Jesus said, abide in me that your joy may be full. In John 15, John 16. The fullness of God's joy. You exchange your troubles for the fullness of God's joy this morning. We thank you, Lord. We praise you. Bless this offering. Bless our fellowship. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Give God praise. Give him praise. Yes. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Glory to God. Glory to you.